Okay, so we're here at this exciting juncture of the beginning of a new year at Machon Meir. Some of you are here for a few days, some of you are here for a few weeks, and some of you hopefully are here for at least a year and maybe more. So there are many, many points that we should really cover. But the first point is that we're looking to build something together. You know, we're not about 200 individuals standing here in an academy. This isn't the college where each guy is doing his own thing, getting his own degree. And, you know, the guy sitting next to you on the bench is going to be your competition. I was speaking to a friend of mine who went to a medical conference, and he told me, I met the other person in the country who's specializing in what I'm specializing in. So I said, were you happy to meet someone you could confer with when you have questions? He said, well, it was interesting to meet my competition in the field. So even in medicine, you hear that that's the way people, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Well, not here. Here we're looking to build together. Each one has his own challenges and his own starting point, and we're not comparing. That's why in Machon Meir, you're not going to find tests. Sometimes we have optional tests, sometimes we have tests that will help you gauge yourself, but in general, there aren't any tests, because the growth that Be'ezrat Hashem you guys are going to grow here cannot be gauged by a test. For one person, the growth is that he doesn't wake up in the morning and bite off his roommate's head. For the next person, it's that he's going to start keeping Shabbat. For the third person, he's stopping to take drugs. For the fourth person, he's getting off of alcohol. For the fifth person, he's already holding where he's focusing on figuring out Gemara Rashi Tosfos. For another guy, he's learning how to shave without using a razor blade. You know, there are 613 mitzvot, and different people are holding in different places, and you're not allowed to gauge yourself by someone else. God doesn't gauge us by anyone else. God has his expectations of each and every one of us, and he's not comparing us to anyone else. We each have a different starting point, and within that framework, that's where we have to grow. And that's why there are no tests. I would like to ask something which I repeat throughout the year. Don't breathe down one another's necks. When I say we grow together, I mean we grow together in that you're there to help one another, but not to help religiously, you know. When I came to MTJ, so the Mashgiach of Michal Birnbaum, of blessed memory, he came over to me. So this old man comes over, and I'm nervous. He's going to test me. And he says, I hear you joined our yeshiva. So I said, yes. So no, it worked the other way. He invited me up to his desk. So I'm sitting in the front of the Beis Medrash. So now it's very uncomfortable. You know, the whole Beis Medrash, imagine you're sitting up here with Rabbi Gun. You know, the first day you walk in. So he asked me where I'm from, and then he asked me, do you have enough clothing? So I said, yes. And he said, do you have enough food? And I said, yes. And he said, do you have enough money? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. So he said, okay, and if you need any help getting set up with chavrusas or learning, so let me know, and just make sure you know when the meals are so you don't miss them. And then he said, okay, go learn, enjoy. That was my introduction to. He was considered the eldest mashgiach. He was in his 90s, and I think he might have passed away past the age of 100. He was already a mashgiach, still from Europe. So we have a saying that says you should worry about your friend's physical well-being and your own spiritual well-being. And very often it's the other way around. I'm worried about my physical. I got to get my supper, right? And I'm worried about his spiritual. He's got to learn to be a nicer person. No, let each person grow at their own pace. But at the same time, we are here together, and it's to everyone's benefit if we can build a lasting relationship and build together. And that's why when you guys have time off, I recommend you guys get together, play basketball, play soccer. When there are yeshiva trips, come on the trips. It's important. You guys get to know one another. For the first time in Machon Meir history and in Frankenthal family history, I started coming with my family on trips this past year, and I hope that God will give us the strength to continue coming. It's not easy, but we definitely see in it a great, great value in building the camaraderie and in experiencing together, and also in discovering the beauty of the land of Israel. So Be'ezrat Hashem, we will have trips, the first one's already in the planning, this month, Be'ezrat Hashem. And it's important. If a friend doesn't show up, then I think it's everyone's responsibility to ask Kate, what's doing? Or how are you feeling? Do you need me to get you the meals? What can I do to help? That's where we should be there for one another, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we should have a fruitful year together. Every time a new student comes, I make it the practice, assuming they show up on time, I make it the practice of going around the classroom and asking everyone to introduce themselves so that everyone knows who everyone else is. If a student shows up late, I'm not going to stop in the middle of class to do that. I can't do that. But I might do it the next class. Now we have a bunch of new faces here. Let's go around and everyone will introduce themselves, how old they are. If you could each say where you're from, how old you are, and how long you plan on staying here. I'll start. My name is Nathan El Frangenthal. I was born here in the building. I grew up in the building behind this building on Shoshana Street. And then my parents went to the U.S. and I came back about 15 years ago. And I've been learning in Machon Meir for a few years now. I don't know, 6-7 years now. And I hope to continue. I live 10 minutes away. Some of you have been by us for a Shabbos meal, and those of you who haven't yet, we'd like to see you. We try to set it up in advance, but we'd still like to see you. I guess that's it. Go ahead.
I'm the best I know. I'm 17. I was born in Israel.
I forgot to say, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I'm 32. Yeah, I forgot. You're right, I said to say the age, yeah.
Hi, I'm from Sweden. I am going to be here for 2 more weeks, and I am 17.
I'm Shimron, previously from London. I've been here for 4 months, and I'm planning to stay until Yom Kippur, and then until I find the Shidduch or Joel or both the transition.
I'm Joseph Bragg, I'm 19. I was born in America, moved to Israel, and moved back to America. I'm back here for
Well, Ben has been coming repeatedly year after year to join us for Elo. Every year he comes and gives us a shot in the arm. And it lasts us about a year. Now that we've been petering out, he came to strengthen us again. Yeah. Guys, you know Yehuda's the Madrich.
I'm Ben Alpern, I'm 25, from Cleveland, Ohio, and so I plan on being here for a year and help you.
I'm David Proto, I'm 22, and I don't know how long I'll be.
Okay.
Rafael, 29, from all over the States. And I've been here for 9 months. Just made Aliyah today. And I'll be here. I don't know. I was supposed to have left already, but I'm still here. And maybe I'll still be here tomorrow.
Okay. We have a Machon Meir website. You guys can log on and see it. I have most of the classes are on there. There are some classes that don't make it to there. So we started another website, TorahForMe.org. That's also easy to find, Torah for Me. And there are a lot of classes from previous years, thousands of classes up there. So firstly, welcome. Baruch haba. Each of you had a challenge to get here. Each time I find it's interesting. Each time coming to Israel has its own challenges. And coming to Yeshiva has its own challenges. Our sages tell us that whenever something good is about to come to the world, so there's an angel called Satan, an angel whose job is to try and derail positive things from this world. So whenever something positive is about to happen, he's there to make it mess things up, to bring areas of doubt. And if you guys made it here, that means you've surmounted one big challenge to get here, at least one. You know, that's why every Erev Shabbos is always filled with tension in every home. Because Shabbos is a time where the Shekhinah is about to come into the door. So he sees that and he says, I can't let that happen. You ever wonder how come when you have a winter Shabbos, that sunset is at 4 o'clock, everything's pressured the last half hour, the last hour. And when you have a summer Shabbos where sunset is at 8 o'clock, you had 4 more hours. How come everything's still pressured that last hour? And I always tell couples, when I'm speaking to them in their Sheva Brachas and I speak about the dreams of engagement, I always say, every couple dreams that in their home, there's going to be tranquility on Friday afternoon. And it's interesting, I always get the Chasan and Kala looking at one another with this knowing look, hey, how'd he know? We thought that we were original on that one. Well, guys, keep dreaming. It's a good dream. It's something to aspire to in Bezrat Hashem. You'll succeed in your home. The Talmud tells us that there was a Tana who knew there was a home where there was a big trouble every Friday afternoon. So he went there, and 3 weeks in a row when he was there, you know, in front of the big rabbi, no one likes to fight. So after 3 weeks that he was there, they could hear the Satan mumbling and saying, oh, shucks, I was kicked out of here. Sometimes you just got to do something 3 times and you've strengthened it enough that it's going to be there. So you guys, each of you surmounted it. Whatever you had to surmount to get here, and you made it. You made it to step one, which sometimes is the biggest challenge, to get to the starting line. Now, sometimes when people enter yeshiva, they have very high hopes, and we have to know that the hopes are a revelation of a desire that's within. But in life, we have many desires. We have short-term desires and long-term desires. And very often the short-term desires contradict the long-term desires. In the long-term, I want to be a millionaire. In the short-term, I want to go out and buy a snack. I don't want to study for my exams. In the long-term, I want to be a successful parent. In the short-term, I'd much rather be outside than doing things that are responsible. We often are faced with conflicting desires. And part of success in life is the capacity to control our desires, to know to invest in the long term. But it also requires a certain maturity to know that not every day is going to be a high. Not every day is going to be the most fun day of learning. Not every class is going to be the most entertaining. You know, we try, but if we're going to cover a certain amount of material, then by its very nature, you know, some things are going to be more interesting and some are going to be even more interesting. You just got to see. So there's a story that the Gra quotes in the beginning of Megillas Esther about a king whose son was really misbehaving. And the king tried to warn him and punish him and teach him. And whatever he did, the kid wouldn't listen. And finally the king sees that this isn't going to work. So the king tells him, look, you know, one more act of foolishness, I'm banishing you. I'm sending you away from the kingdom. You're not going to be a prince anymore. I'm going to send you to a faraway forest. You think I'm not going to do it? I'm not joking. I'm going to put you out there and you're going to have to fend for yourself and forget it. You can't be prince if this is the way you're behaving. And of course, that one more time actually happened. And the king had no choice. And he told his guards, bind him up, put him in a wagon, send them out. and they're riding for hours. They get to this deep forest, and they're going into the forest deeper and deeper. And then the men take him off the wagon. They give him a slice of bread. They release him from his bondage. They turn around their horses. They were instructed not to say a word. They ride away. And they ride far away, and they're riding and riding and riding, and he looks after them, and he realizes he can't catch up to them, and he doesn't know his way back. He has no idea how he's going to manage. So he sits down in the forest, and he wonders to himself, gee, what now, right? So he starts looking around. He's got to find some shelter. Where is he going to sleep that night? And he's looking, and he comes across a few cubs. And when he comes across a few cubs, he thinks that's very cute until he realizes that the mother cub is charging behind him. And the mother cub is charging behind him. So the mother bear is charging behind him. Starts running, but he doesn't have much of a chance of making it away from the mother. And it reaches the point where he's running for all he's worth. And he feels her breath on his neck. And he knows he's got about 1 second left till he's a goner. And suddenly, there's a swoop, and one of the king's men, a knight, happens to have been riding by, and he comes and he kills the bear and keeps riding off into the sunset. So he sits down and he looks at the mother bear dead right next to him, and he says, boy, that was a close call. I'm so thankful that knight happened to be here. Okay, he's catching his breath. Now, some of the king's men were hoping to bump off this prince, because they figured if they bump him off, then the king has no heir, and then maybe they'll take the throne. So one of them had actually followed the king's men out into the woods, and now that the kid was sitting there all alone, this man comes charging up with his sword drawn, and the kid is there helpless. He's got nothing to do but run. So again, he's on the run. And he's running. And again, the man is catching up to him, and he knows he's got seconds left to live. And suddenly, second before he runs behind the tree, and they're running, circling around the tree, and he sees no way out. And suddenly a knight appears, rides in, and kills that advisor, that officer of the king, and rides off into the sunset. So the prince sits down and thinks for a second and says, wait a second, coincidence? Not twice, no. And he realizes that even though his father put him out in the forest, he's looking after him. He sent his men. Those knights didn't appear by mistake. This medrash has a different version. There's a different version to the medrash that says that it was raining in the forest and it was dark. And the prince was there weeping in the darkness. He didn't know where to go. And suddenly there was a flash of lightning. And the flash of lightning, he sees in the distance the king's knights. So he runs in the direction of that he saw the knights. And when he gets there, there's no one there. So he figures maybe he imagined it. And then there's another bolt of lightning. And again, in a different direction, he sees the king's men. And again he runs. And again they're not there. And then he realizes that the king is watching over him. It's just that he doesn't want his men with him directly, but he hasn't really forsaken him. And the Gra quotes this Medrash, and he says, that's the idea of Esther. The story of Esther is a story about the Jewish people's coming near annihilation, and suddenly realizing that even though God is letting the bear come real close to them, you know, he's breathing down their neck. The decree to annihilate the Jewish people has already been written and signed, but he's not going to let us be annihilated. So we have to know that Hashem is watching over us. You know, we're not doing this alone. There might be many moments when you feel alone, but you're not. The one who's rooting most for your success here at Machon Meir is up there, and he's with us. That doesn't mean it's easy, but you should know you. In the Song of Songs, there's a description of Bati Legani. I've come to my garden. You know, there are two types of meetings with a king. There's a situation where the king comes to your home, and then you got to tidy up your home. That's what we do on Shabbos. We're ready for the king to come to our home on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, we tidy up the home. We make the home a beautiful place. And then you come to shul. You're coming to the king's home. You're coming to the palace. And shul, you have to behave like you're in shul. You're in the king's presence. Well, Israel is the king's home. You've come to the king's home. But it's the king's home which he's given to us. So it's our home. So it's both. It's a meeting ground. And Chazal tell us that different locations Hashem keeps his eye on with more intent than others. Just like different times are different, right? So Shabbos has more Hashgacha than a weekday. And the land of Israel has more than Chutzlaritz. So the land of Israel, our sages say, has no demons. No bad spirits in the land of Israel. You know, they say all kinds of gemaras about all kinds of spirits. That's all Chutzlaritz. Not in Israel. They can't touch you here. This is God's territory. And we're fortunate. We're here. And this is a window of opportunity. For those of you who are here a day, a week, a month, a year, this is a window of opportunity. And in life, we have many windows of opportunity. Different times in life, we have different opportunities. And we have to know when they arrive. Because sometimes we don't even realize that they were there. So I think the first key point that I would want to offer in order for you guys to get the most out of your time here is to think for a moment and realize that, hey, I am very fortunate. I'm very lucky. I have this opportunity here, this time at Machon Meir, and what can I accomplish during this time? Now, in order to do this, you have to do something that no one here has done, and that is get a pen and paper. Now, don't feel bad. Ah, one person has pen and paper. The Europeans sometimes do. Every year I say this, and every year almost no one brings pen and paper. But guys, if you want to get the most out of class, you should really take notes. You take more notes, you take less notes, it doesn't matter. The mere fact that you're taking notes will make you remember more. I have times that I'm learning, I take notes, and I throw out the notes at the end of my learning. I'm never going to look at them again. But having taken the notes imprints it in our minds better than anything else. And notes on a laptop are not as good as notes in writing. Should just know, it took me about 5 years to figure that out. 5 years of working with the laptop. And after 5 years, I looked back and I saw I did not remember the material I had learned for those 5 years as well as before I started using a laptop. And that's why some of you will have noticed in the last 2 years, I worked with a laptop much, much, much less. I think a person has to stop and think. You're at a starting point, right? Even if you have 2 days here, even if you have 1 week here, you have to ask yourself, what do I want to accomplish during this time? So you might boil it down to one sentence. I want to connect with God. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, how? Is it through understanding Torah? Is it through prayer? Do I want to strengthen my understanding of prayer, my connection with prayer? Do I want to build a relationship with a rabbi that will be with me when I leave the machon? I think every person should do that. If you don't find a rabbi, you connect to it at the machon. There are many rabbis around Jerusalem. It doesn't have to be here. But that's an asset you should have. It's a waste if you leave here without it. We're all very different. I don't know if you guys got a chance to meet the staff, but no two are alike here. We're different. Our age ranges. I mean, Rav Klayman could be my grandfather. Hashem should give him longevity. And then you have the age ranges, and you have also different personalities and different approaches and different philosophies. You have everything here, from Hasidut to everything. You know, we don't have Satmar here. That's true. You know, we don't have everything. We have almost everything. We have Satmar Talmidim. That's true. Sure, Satmar Nitrikarta bells, whatever you want. They've been here. Sure. So point number one, I think, is to try and think what you want to accomplish. Point number two is ask yourself, how are you going to accomplish that? And point number three is to make yourself a schedule. Okay, you guys, a guy without a schedule is like a ship that's sailing without a compass. One day you go this way, the next day you go that way. You could be drifting a long time here. You guys have to make yourself a schedule. And I recommend you take that schedule to a rabbi who you can talk to, who you can think it through with. Best is the rabbi you do Talmud with in the mornings, but whoever you feel comfortable with, and look it over. Most often when I look over people's schedules, I tell them they need to put in more breaks. that it's not sustainable. In order for it to succeed, they need to take more time to take a walk, more time to go out and have a cup of coffee, more time to send their parents emails. But even those times, you know, they should be set. And it's important also to try and get chavrusas, to have study partners. Because if you're on the phone with your parents and you know, I should be down learning at 3:30, yeah, I'll talk to them another 10 minutes. That's one thing. But if you know someone's waiting for you at 3:30, then I hope you have the decency to say, Mom, Dad, I'd love to talk to you. Let's continue this tomorrow. But right now someone's waiting for me downstairs. I got to run. And go down and be here at 3:30. So what I did sometimes was if I wanted to have a learning session on my own, I'd have a chavrusa for 5 minutes and then my own learning session for an hour. But having that chavrusa for 5 minutes got me there. So you got to figure out what are the tricks to make it work for yourself. I recommend that you spice your learning with learning that is interesting, not only what you want to accomplish, but also things that you enjoy. Take time to read some Jewish history. Take time to read Midrashim. See what you bond with. And that's why at the conclusion of our discussion tonight, we're going to go downstairs and look at the library. I want you guys to be familiar with what's there so that you start exploring things in Judaism you might not have explored beforehand. I do not recommend you dabble in Kabbalah. I'm not sure it's worth your time. But other than that, I think there's a lot out there, be it Hasidut, be it Midrashim, be it Rambam, be it Mishnah, be it Jewish history, be it Halacha. I think every person has to have some time in the day that you learn Halacha. You got to know what you're doing. But I don't think you should do more than 10 minutes at a shot. And that way you'll be able to retain it. If you do more than 10 minutes at a shot of Halacha, you better be sure you're retaining what you're learning. And I would not learn Mishnah Brura, at least not at this stage of the game. I would learn something simpler, where you cover the ground more quickly. These are basic guidelines. The most important point, I think, is to go with it happily. Meaning the tshuva process and the growth process can very often be taxing. If you're not happy the way you're going, then stop and ask yourself, if you haven't taken too much upon yourself. You know, it's not easy. You're going to see in 2 days, you guys are going to be very tired. The learning schedule here from morning to night is very hard. Those of you that are doing Ulpan, you walk out of that Ulpan and your mind is fizzled. Like, where am I? Remind me, what's my name? What day of the week is it? It's hard. It's hard. And you have to factor in those breaks. And you have to see... you have to see what works for you, but give yourself time to adapt. Everyone had this period where it was harder in the beginning. The hardest is the first week at Machon Meir. Second week it gets easier, but the hardest is the first week. Don't try to take on too much. You know, go slowly. Slow and steady wins. People who try to do everything all at once, they don't succeed. Doesn't work. You got to go slowly and happily. Another word of advice, I recommend whenever you have an in Shabbos, so try to be here. The davening is beautiful. Bezat Shem on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. You'll see there's a beautiful davening. There's nothing like the experience of being in yeshiva for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But when you don't have an in Shabbos, then get out of here. Go see other families. Start understanding what Jewish family life is like. I know you've seen Jewish homes. Go see other Jewish homes. You learn about it. I still go and see Jewish homes. I still gain from it. There's always what to learn. See how the couples interact. See how they educate their kids. Talk to them. Listen to them. There's a lot to be gained. We had a student who came here once. Everyone was convinced he had a Jewish background, that we all thought he grew up with a Jewish home and everything. Turns out nothing could be further from the truth. His mother was completely anti-religious. His father knew nothing about religion. So how did he know all this? I asked him once. When we were talking about Shaduchim, he floored me. You know, I never asked him beforehand. I said to him, okay, where'd you grow up? He told me. I said, wait, what Jewish community is there? He said, none. I said, you didn't grow up in the Jewish community? Nope. So then I said, how'd you know so much about Judaism? He said, I had no time to go to yeshiva. But what I did have time to do is I went to Jewish families while I was working. I went to work in a Jewish community, and over there I kept going to Jewish homes for Shabbos, and then when I'd go with them to shul, so I asked the guy, could you learn with me 5 minutes? I'd learn with him 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, but the homes, I became a part of a Jewish home, that's what fashioned the type of person I became. So that's a tremendous asset, and if you can't do it on your own, talk to Rav Listman, talk to Yehuda, talk to me, talk to Rav Aaron Alevi, get set up. It doesn't have to be in Jerusalem. There are plenty of wonderful families around Israel. But go to Orthodox families, guys. Go to places where you don't come to me and ask me, well, can I eat there? If you're asking me if you could eat there, then maybe that's not the place you should be for Shabbos. Get set up in good Orthodox homes where you could learn from what you're seeing there. Okay, our schedule of learning, ordinarily Sunday night we have a voluntary class from 6:45 to 7:30 in Ein Yaakov. I'm talking about my learning, my classes. 6:45 to 7:30 we do Ein Yaakov, which are the stories of the Talmud. At night, 6:45 to 7:30 at night. I'm here generally at nights other than Fridays. 7:30 is Ma'ariv. 7:30, 7:40, something like that. Soon it'll be set at 7:30. And then 8:30 after supper, we start learning. We're doing Tanakh. We're starting from the book of Shoftim. We try to do 5 chapters every Sunday. And we try to finish all of the stories of Tanakh every year by Pesach. And this year we'll do it. Last year was the first time in my history in Machon Meir that we didn't do it. And it's because the guys had so many questions, we just didn't advance at the pace we usually do. Come and see. 45 minutes. That's 8:30 to 9:15. 9:15, we have our class on Pirkei Avot in the Jewish home till 10 o'clock. Every night at 10 o'clock, we have 5 minutes in which we learn Gemara Brachos. Yehuda and I have a Chavrusa. Anyone who wants can listen in. And then we have 10 minutes of the book of Job, the book of Eel. On Monday and Tuesday nights, so we're still going to see what's going to be set up, but basically there's Rav Kaplan's class downstairs. There might be a schedule change in that on Monday and Tuesday nights. I learn up here with those who are in advanced Talmud. It's an open class. Whoever wants can join, but the level is advanced. We do advanced Talmud. This year we'll be doing Gemara Sukkah. There's a schedule change on that. 8:30 to 9 o'clock on Monday and Tuesday nights, there will be a sign-up sheet. I'll be meeting with the guys between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. Those of you who want, we could meet, we could learn, we could talk, whatever you want, the 15-minute slots between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. 9 to 10 o'clock, we learn up here advanced Talmud, Gemara Sukkah Bezrat Shem this year. Wednesday nights, I meet with the guys between 6:45 and 7:30, also a sign-up sheet. And then at 8:30 at night, we have our Parsha class, which I strongly recommend you guys come to. We try to cover the Parsha with the Rishonim, with a quick summary, a quick overview of the basic commentaries on the Parsha and the basic philosophies. Thursday nights, so we alternate. 1 week is an off night on Thursday night, in which we learn with the advanced guys up here. We learn Maimonides' Introduction to Sefer HaMitzvos, which is an overview of many, many basic concepts for Talmud. Again, it's open doors. Whoever wants can come, but it's a free night. And then the other week, we have a late night. 1 week late night, 1 week free night. We alternate. The first 2 weeks, we'll be going straight. We'll have a late night this Thursday night, Bezrat Hashem. We learn from 6:45 to 7:30 is voluntary. Whoever wants can come. Whoever wants doesn't have to. We learn Maimonides on Pirkei Avos. Then there's Ma'ariv and Supper. And then from 8:30 to 1:00, 2:00 in the morning, as long as you guys have strength, we learn a conglomerate of things, and we have a question and answer session where you could ask whatever you want. That doesn't mean I'll have an answer, but you could ask. And we learn a chapter of Tehillim. We try to do a chapter of Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, 10 psukim in Mishle. There are a bunch of things that we do on Thursday night. So that's Thursday night. Friday morning, again, voluntary class, those of you who want. We learn a lot of different works on philosophy. We will be starting again, it seems, Nachmanides' work, Torat Hashem Temima. I don't think there's anyone here who learned it yet. It's all online, but I think you guys should learn it. So I think we're going to start it again this semester. We're learning the Ran's work, philosophical work. We're starting the fourth speech of the Ran. And again, we do what else do we do Friday morning? We do Treyasar. We do Tanakh. Right now we're up to the book of Amos, Micha. We're in Micha. We didn't finish Micha. We're in Micha. We're towards the end of the book of Micha, after which we'll be going back to the book of Jonah. Shabbos morning, we used to have a voluntary class for those of you who want to wake up early and daven at 6 o'clock or daven v'sikin. There's a 6:15 minyan next door. And then at 8:15, 8:30, with coffee and cake and kiddush in my house, Those of you who got up early and davened early, we used to have a class in my house. Last year, no one showed up. This year, if there are guys who are interested, I'll be happy to restart it, starting this Shabbos. If there are people who are interested, we'll be doing it, Bezrat Hashem, in Har Nof. It seems this Shabbos, the entrance to Har Nof. Those of you who are interested, see me or Yehuda Frankel. So that's Shabbos morning. That's it in a nutshell. Yeah, there are points in the schedule that we're still working out. That's the only reason why the schedule isn't up. By tomorrow, hopefully, you'll have a schedule. Yeah. It should be, yeah. The Friday class is written in fine print. But the Friday class, we really cover a lot of ground, a lot of different works on Jewish philosophy. And Treyasar. By the way, in our Job class, we're almost finishing the book of Job, after which we will probably be learning the book of Ecclesiastes. 10 minutes every night, from 10:05 to 10:15. Yes?
Are we
going to
go sometime today?
Yes, so the only reason we're not doing it tomorrow is because a lot of guys haven't shown yet. That's not the only reason, but that's a major reason. We're missing like 10 to 15 guys that haven't come in yet. There's still going to be more guys in the program, yeah. So next Thursday, we hope, will be a late night at the Kotel. And this Thursday will be a late night here in the Beit Midrash, right here. Tomorrow night, the Parsha class is in the Old Beis Midrash next door. And Thursday night, we'll be over here. Thursday night, we also bring in pizza and refreshments. We're supposed to bring refreshments now. We'll bring them to the library as we go and take our tour of the library. Any questions, guys?
Yeah,
about the bear. Yes. What color was it?
No.
I'm joking.
Bear, seriously a bear? Like, specifically a bear? Because is there like a quick connection between Persian and Persia and a bear?
Oh, very nice. Could be. Yeah, the Gemara does say the Persians are the nation that's compared to a bear. Yes. It does say that in the Gemara. Right, yeah. Okay, let's go down.